Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the second episode of Wrestle Chat Radio right here on the Fan Junkies Radio Network. I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus, and guess who's by my side again? It's Brett Clendaniel. What's going on, Brett?
Not much, man. Hey, it's glad to be back. I'm very glad to be back for week two. And, hey, the fans have spoken. They loved last week. They said Wrestle Chat Radio is the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
I like that you put that in there, man. I really do. Nice touch.
Of course.
Nice touch, because we're going to go and we're going to talk about Bret Hart and his comments about Triple H. But before we do that, if you want to call in today, we're only doing a half an hour, but it seems that we might have to push this to an hour very soon, Bret.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of requests on Twitter to put this towards to an hour show, so it looks like we're going to have to probably do that real, real soon, so probably next week. But in the meantime, if you want to call in, the number is 347-237-5373. If you want to call in and talk about what Brett and I are talking about, we love to take phone calls, so please call in. So, Brett, we got a lot of comments from Bret Hart on Triple H, so I'm going to give you the mic. I want you to tell people some of the comments from Bret Hart.
All right, well, this news actually came out on January 31st. That was last Thursday. Bret Hart comes out with these comments that seemingly come out of nowhere, where he says, you know, really, what has Triple H really done? He's never had a great match. He's a little overrated. You know, he really went to town on Triple H. You know, he says that Triple H has a good physique, but beside that, really, what has he done?
Mm-hmm.
That started a huge controversy. Fans were debating back and forth just yesterday over on the WrestleChat Twitter feed at WrestleChatNet. We were going back and forth with all kinds of people, trying to figure out who people sided with and things like that. And then Arda Ocal of The Score, he actually caught up with Bret Hart to get clarification. He did this on Saturday to get clarification on Bret Hart's Triple H comments. You know,
yeah,
thinking maybe Bret Hart's comments were just taken out of, you know, context or whatever. You know, that thing happens. But Bret Hart took it a step further. He says Triple H has never contributed an idea in his life. And the best one of all, he says Triple H isn't even in the top 1,000 all time.
Yikes. Yikes. So then what's been the consensus around? I mean, you know what, are people going more towards Bret Hart's comments or more people sticking with Triple H on it?
Well, you know, that's tough to answer. I asked yesterday, here's the question that I put out yesterday. I said, if you could only book one guy in their prime to headline your promotion, who do you go with? Do you go with Bret Hart in his prime? Do you go with Triple H? When I asked that question, I would say 75-25 people were in favor of Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But before I asked that question, when it came down to, was Bret Hart right? It seemed like by far there were a lot of people that said, yeah, Triple H is overrated, but it seems like there were more people that felt that, you know, Bret Hart was, it's just sour grapes. He's coming off bad because of, you know, the bad history and the bad blood between the two.
Yeah.
You know, Triple H is definitely in the top 1,000 all time. I don't think that's a question. And people were saying, you know, Bret Hart was the better wrestler between the two. Triple H was easily the better entertainer.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the consensus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't really, you know, say anything bad about that. I mean, Bret Hart is definitely the better wrestler, and we're definitely sure that Triple H was the better entertainer because Bret Hart's personality was real stale. But, you know what, I don't know if that's how you felt, but, you know, all my years of watching Bret Hart, I loved him as a wrestler in the ring, but when you got towards the whole entertainment appeal of it into the 90s and mid-90s, he just didn't have that kind of personality. He tried hard, but it didn't work.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, Bret Hart definitely, you know, towards the downside, towards the backside of his career anyway, he definitely started to go on a downward trend and wasn't as exciting, specifically in WCW. His WCW run, in my personal opinion, was awful. And, you know, if there's
Absolutely.
Anybody out there that's listening that would like to call in and maybe disagrees with that, we'd love to hear from you. You know, but Bret Hart, to me, for a lot of the time, he was pretty stale. I mean, I think some of his best work was the stuff that he did with Jerry Lawler. His Bob Backlund feud, which, in my opinion, is extremely underrated.
Yes.
Their feud was one of my favorites growing up. You know, so, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I didn't like even what they did with him in the WWE towards the end there, you know, with the whole Hart Foundation thing, putting Brian Pillman in there. It got really, really dark with the whole anti-America stuff, so wasn't a fan of it. But, you know, you still can't talk bad about his wrestling skills. I mean, he was definitely one of the best wrestlers we probably have ever seen in our lifetimes, Brett.
Oh, absolutely. And I think when most people count down probably their top 10 wrestlers of all time, Bret Hart has to be a shoo-in for that list. I just can't imagine anybody would leave him out. And I also would take this a step further and say I don't think anybody would ever put Triple H in a top 10 all-time list. I don't care how many times he's held the a world title.
Yeah.
That means nothing when it comes down to it, but I don't think anybody would put Triple H in a top 10. I would probably stretch to put him in a top 20.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to talk about this, too. The times that Bret Hart won the belt and held the belt, I mean, those were prestigious times around that WWE belt. You know, to me, when Triple H held those belts, that was when they were getting into the whole Attitude Era. And to me, you know, that really took a lot of legitimacy out of being a world heavyweight champion.
Yeah, the belt was dropping, you know, literally. ...27 times, I don't even know, I've lost count. The guy has held the belt more than like anybody, and it's, I think that works against him now.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, everybody, having a little technical difficulty.
No, he's not.
I'm here, John. I hear you.
All right, we're back on live. Sorry about that, folks. We're having a lot of technical difficulties here, a little bit of mic trouble. Brett, you're with us, right?
Absolutely.
Sorry about that, man. Really, I don't know what's going on here. Our condenser mics keep staticking out and going nuts. So, you know, we apologize to everybody about that. Unfortunately, we lost a couple of minutes of a half-hour show. so, Brett.
And here I thought our technology was better than the WWE Raw app that failed last night during the live vote or the lights at the Super Bowl.
No, it's probably a little worse at the moment right now, unfortunately. So we'll make that up to everybody next week. But at the same time, we were discussing Bret Hart's comments on Triple H. We were also talking about the legitimacy of the times Bret held the WWE Championship to the times Triple H won a championship, Bret. Let me ask you this question, because I threw this out to you yesterday or a day ago. Was this smart of Bret Hart to say? We know Vince McMahon's on the downside of, him being the big gun of WWE. He's not getting any younger. Finally, Bret Hart makes amends with him and Shawn Michaels. But you know what? To get a paycheck, you have to be nice. Triple H is going to be the head of the WWE eventually.
Yeah, Eric Ardula of Camel Quest Blog, we're both good friends with him, and yesterday he wrote something about all of this, and he really brought up a great point. You know, Bret Hart is just, for whatever reason, I don't know why, he doesn't think before he speaks, and since he has moved on and he's retired from the ring, he really has just come off as really, really sour and bitter, and I don't know why that is. With Vince McMahon possibly being done within the next, maybe 5 years or so, maybe Bret Hart just never wants to be on WWE TV again. I don't know at this point. I don't know why he says the things that he says specifically about Triple H.
Yeah, I just don't get it. That was one of the things that really came out at me first when I read all of these comments, from Bret Hart on Triple H is, wow, you know what? Triple H is going to be the head of WWE one day. You know what? Maybe it'll be Stephanie McMahon, but you know what? When you look at it, Triple H is going to be running the show. So, I think he's going to be missing out on a paycheck there, Brett.
I think you're absolutely right.
Now, what about Chris Jericho coming out disagreeing with Bret Hart? Is that is that going to put Bret Hart, coming out against Chris Jericho eventually, you think?
No, I don't think so. Bret Hart and Chris Jericho are good friends, and Jericho had a lot of really nice things to say about Bret Hart.
Yeah.
But Chris Jericho just said, look, I disagree with Bret Hart on the aspect that I think Triple H is underrated. Mm. And I can see that point as well, too. Triple H was really, really big in the era that is forever going to be known for The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
And people would probably even put Triple H under The Undertaker and Mankind. So in that aspect, Triple H was kind of buried a bit underneath really, really talented people. And in that aspect, I see exactly where Chris Jericho's coming from, that, you know what, maybe he was a little underrated.
Yeah. Well, you know what, I think he was a little underrated, but at the same time, you know what, I kind of agree with Bret Hart's comments on, you know what, he just didn't fit that bill to be, that good of a wrestler like all those other guys were. You know, if those guys weren't around, could Triple H have been one of the greatest? I don't know, because, you know what, he does kind of do the same moves all the time, and he does kind of have all of the same stuff, so...
Yeah, and Susan Parkinson, she's at Lady Dragon's Blood on Twitter. She actually just tweeted us. She said, I'm in Germany listening live, can't call, but I think Jericho summed it up best. Bret Hart has some past issues that he needs to deal with.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely. I mean, you could see that from his comments. There's something about it. So either he just has, a legitimate gripe against, Triple H, or, he just really believes in his comments. It's one thing or the other, Bret, so... I don't know. All right, man. So, so you know what? Let me ask you this. Now, your opinion on it. Where would you put Triple H? I mean, he's definitely not in the top 10. To me, he's not in my top 20. Would you put him in the top 30 or 40 or what?
I would say Triple H is in my top 25. Where exactly? I don't know. He's not 1 through 10. He's somewhere 10 to 25. I just don't know where off the top of my head. Yeah, I mean, I think he's been incredible. I think anybody that was in the ring with Triple H at one point or another, he's had a good match with them. I don't think it's fair to say he's never had a great match. Bret Hart made that ridiculous comment that Triple H's match with Undertaker at WrestleMania a few years ago was a 4 out of 10. Are you kidding me?
I would give it a 4 out of 10. I would have gave it like maybe a 7 out of 10. It wasn't one of the best matches I've ever seen. It was good. But it definitely wasn't in my top 10, top 20, top 30 matches I think I've ever seen. So.
Yeah, I'm probably at 7 or 8 as well. But Triple H is probably in the top 25 easily. I don't know where I would put him off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think I could actually come up with 25 guys that are a lot better than Triple H. So maybe we'll do that for WrestleChat. What do you think?
We may have to do that.
Yeah, you know what? We'll get some of our buddies involved in that too. That would be pretty fun. So, all right, man. Let's talk about this big report that you put up from PW Torch on WrestleChat.net. The Rock and many WWE stars not getting along backstage over his current run. What the hell is going on with that, man?
You know, this happened last year, too. These reports come out, and I don't know what I think about them. I don't know if they're true. I don't know, to be honest with you. But they're crazy. The same thing happened last year where pretty much the report is – there's some animosity backstage, that there's some people that are upset that The Rock is pretty much stealing a spot at WrestleMania, taking a paycheck from somebody. And this year's a little different in that these reports actually include what are said to be specific details. What it is that there is what is called a quote-unquote big picture plan, that The Rock coming in for this big run from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania is good for everybody. It's a part of the big picture. The Rock addressed this on Twitter Saturday night where he says, thank you, WWE superstars, for the awesome welcoming me back and getting the big picture plan. You true locker room leaders are great. So here's where PW Torch comes in with this report. And here are some of the reasons that they say are why people backstage are upset at The Rock. And here's the 5 bullet points that I took away. Number 1, some wrestlers are upset at how The Rock looks physically, and they believe that they are not given the same time or opportunity to appear the same way. So they think that The Rock, with all this time off for these movies that he's working in, really gets a chance to work on his physique a lot more, and in essence, makes them look bad. So that's bullet point 1. Bullet point 2, some wrestlers felt that The Rock was in bad ring shape for his Royal Rumble match against CM Punk. I didn't really notice anything. I thought Rock looked better in the ring this time against CM Punk than he did last year against Cena at Mania.
And he didn't look terrible against Cena, I thought. So.
Yeah, I mean, The Rock appeared to be gassed within probably 5 minutes of the match. So that's bullet point number 2. Number 3, The Rock has isolated himself behind the scenes for the most part due to how he's perceived by his peers. Number four, many take some of The Rock's promos and comments personally as coming off arrogant and sending a message to his detractors. There was an example they left in there from the Raw, from The Rock's promo last week on Raw, where many felt like The Rock was kind of jabbing at people backstage that are saying that The Rock doesn't belong there. And then the final bullet point, some people feel as if The Rock didn't really come back for the fans, like he said, or to give Vince McMahon, you know, another opportunity, you know, or, you know, a little bit of help, but he did it simply to promote his movie career, which is really busy right now with G.I. Joe and Snitch and who knows what else.
Yeah, the Fast and the Furious movie that's coming out and all that other good stuff. But before we get into that, because I want to throw out a couple of comments myself, let's bring in Jim Williams, who's calling in. What's up, Jim?
John, Brett, how's it going, guys?
Not much, Jim. Thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. The whole thing with The Rock and the perceived animosity backstage is a dual-edged sword, quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, WrestleMania is the big pay-per-view of the year, and obviously he's here for WrestleMania. You want to put as many eyeballs to the sets and as many butts to the seats as you possibly can. So you have to go outside the realm of, you know, CM Punk, the hardcore wrestling types, the wrestlers that the hardcore wrestling types would love to see in the main event. You have to get The Rock. You have to get, sadly, I guess, like last year, Maria Menounos. And in years past, a Snooki or whatever, to draw in John and Jane Q public. That's why The Rock's there. That he's putting butts in the seats, money in the pockets of the powers that be. You got to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let me throw this out, too. Now, who are these guys, you know, that are backstage that are, you know, saying that The Rock coming back is taking stuff away from them? Because let's throw this out there right now. The Rock is not leaving WrestleMania with the belt. We already know John Cena is going to win it. I mean, that's just...
Well,
it's gonna happen.
You know what? I have a theory about that, John. Actually, there is a way he could easily leave WrestleMania with a belt, but maybe drop it the next night on Raw.
It's okay. Well, all right. Just that whole weekend in general. He's not leaving. You know what? He's not going to be past WrestleMania. He's not going to do a lot of stuff with WWE.
Right.
We know that already. So now, from the time of now that he's won it to the time of WrestleMania or you know what, the Raw after that, where he might drop it. Who would actually have been holding this belt in between them? Because The Rock is only there to hold the belt in the fight with the John Cena's and the CM Punks. Was anybody else going to get a chance at the belt? Was it going to be like an Antonio Cesaro? Was it going to be a Jack Swagger? Was it going to be any of those guys that you would think are probably the guys that are in the back holding a grudge against The Rock? Because you know it's not the Punks. You know it's not the John Cena's. You know it's not the Randy.
It's the mid-card. It's absolutely the mid-card types. And you know what? Maybe a Dolph Ziggler. You know, you may want to throw him into the mix there when it comes to that conversation.
You know what? I don't think it would be Dolph Ziggler, because Dolph Ziggler knows he's going to get a very, very big push, and eventually he's going to have the belt around his waist.
I agree with you. Point taken.
You know, last year the guy that was rumored to be behind these all these reports was actually CM Punk. And I don't know if things are better now, but, you know, there was a lot of backstage animosity between the two because Punk felt like, here's a guy coming in, and he's taken the spot from somebody who works 300 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a big rumor. And, you know, CM Punk seems like that type of guy. Would he be the one doing it now? Hey, maybe he is. You know, CM Punk drops the belt after this 434-day reign. And CM Punk now went from potential WrestleMania headliner, if The Rock wasn't going to be here, to who knows now with The Undertaker's situation kind of in limbo as well.
But let me say this also. Those who are saying, oh, well, The Rock is the one keeping certain mid-carders from getting a paycheck, it's not just that. You also have to look at the way the writing staff is handling the program. I mean, the writing on the shows the last, I don't know how many months, has been nothing short of atrocious. The storylines, with the exception of, you know, the most recent one with Punk and Rock, they're not setting the world on fire, and people aren't tuning in the droves that they have been in years past.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it was just the last few months. It has been the last couple of years. But before we go any further, we got a phone call coming in. 269 area code. What's on your mind? 269, you're on the air.
And we have lost.
And 269 did not want to talk to us. So. Well.
Such is life.
Such is life. But yeah, you know what? I don't see him potentially taking a spot away from these mid-carders, because even when he wasn't there, these mid-carders weren't going anywhere. So,
you know, Jim, you brought up Dolph Ziggler as a guy that may possibly be somebody that could maybe feel this way. Ziggler actually told Nova FM on January 30th, he did a radio appearance with them, and they specifically wanted to talk to Dolph about The Rock's return and how it may benefit Dolph Ziggler and wrestlers in his position. And Ziggler said he is back to bring more eyes to the WWE than maybe wouldn't have been on them before. The whole thing is to get a new audience to cross over and enjoy our show. In the long run, him being in that spot and coming back and giving back to the WWE will hopefully bring lots of eyes who normally wouldn't see it.
Yeah, okay, so Ziggler's a big picture guy, and that's a good thing, and that can only help his stock down the road.
Definitely.
You know, it's just you wonder which mid-carders or even low-card types are behind this perceived slighting of The Rock. I understand. Listen, if you're a low to mid-card guy busting your hump on the road 300 days a year, sometimes not getting TV time, I understand you have every right to gripe, but you should step your game up when The Rock is around, you know, step your game, step your conditioning up, so on and so forth. Do everything you can to make the powers that be see, hey, you know what, give me a chance, give me a chip and a chair and let me play.
Well, you know what it is too, man, it's like... This thing has, you know, this has been happening for years and years and years in wrestling.
Of course.
Eventually they bring other people back. We've never heard about all these gripes coming out of the back. I'm sorry, but The Rock has done enough to earn a chance to come back after 10 years and want to work with the WWE. I don't care who you would be. He earned that right to do it. He put the WWE in his back at times during the 90s. Did things I'm sure he really didn't want to do during that whole Attitude Era, but he did it. You know what, to me, I think it's just a poor case for some of these people.
And you know what's funniest about this? If the person that was coming back right now was Stone Cold Steve Austin, we would not hear anywhere near the same amount of complaining that we do right now because it's The Rock.
Absolutely. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? Sorry, Jim, before you go there, we got another phone call coming in, so let's get this in real quick. 763 area code, what's on your mind?
Hey, this is Eric from Minnesota. I wanted to, calling to talk to you guys about Chris Jericho.
All right, what's on your mind?
I was wondering if you guys heard the report. I'm sure you guys probably did, but I was wondering if you guys heard the reports about a possible Chris Jericho Ryback match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know, that's crazy and kind of out of nowhere, and it seems like a lot will need to happen between now and then. I'm not sure what I think about it. You know, for a while they were talking about Big Show maybe being the guy that was going to feud with Ryback to give Ryback his WrestleMania moment. And something's changed along the way, and I'm not exactly sure what I think about it. Eric, I mean, I know you're a big Chris Jericho fan. Is that what you want to see Chris Jericho do at WrestleMania? And if not, what else would you like to see from him?
Personally, I do not want to see Jericho and Ryback at Mania. I would rather see Jericho and Ziggler do kind of with their feud from last summer, but I did hear from Dave Meltzer that the reason why McMahon brought Jericho back to feud with Ryback was for WrestleMania next year, they're thinking about having Ryback take on John Cena.
That would make sense.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's really interesting. I got to say that definitely is interesting. But Eric from Michigan, thanks for calling in, man. We really appreciate it. We only got a couple more minutes left in the show, so we're not going to take any more callers at the time. So if you're calling in, get at with us next week. We're going to have to go an hour, Brett. It just seems to be that way.
Yeah. The people have spoken.
Yeah, so we get a lot of phone calls in. So for the people calling in today, we really apologize. But please call in on Tuesday. And, you know, next Tuesday, we're going to go an hour. And then maybe we'll get Jim back on with us as well. What do you think, Jim? All right, but before we do anything, we got to talk about it. Bruno Sammartino finally going into the WWE Hall of Fame. We have to give a lot of props to Triple H who made this happen. Brett, I know you are just as happy as I am. Bruno Sammartino is a part of our histories growing up as wrestling fans. Jim, I'm sure you're probably happy about it as well. Let's talk a little bit about this quick. We only have 4 minutes left in the show. Brett, what does this mean to you, Bruno, going in?
This is fantastic. You know, I'm very vocal. The reason I'm still in the wrestling to this day, that I got into it from day one, is my grandfather, my Pop-Pop Lee, passed away back in 2000 of cancer. And the two people that he loved more than anybody were Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino. To see those two guys, it meant so much to him that I spent a lot of time researching just because they meant so much to him. To see those two guys go in the same year is so long overdue, and I am ecstatic. I am ecstatic for the sport and the history of wrestling. to see these two guys go in because they belong in there almost more than anybody else that is yet to go in. And I think this is incredible.
Amen. What about you, Jim? Does Bruno Sammartino have any effect on you growing up as a wrestling fan?
Well, I was a little too young to appreciate Bruno Sammartino, truly, not unlike Brett. But back in the day, I mean, he there were three pillars for the modern-day WWE, or F, or WWF, whatever you want to call it. And Vince Sr., eventually Vince Jr., and in between those two, it's Bruno Sammartino and his incredible title reign and what he did working his tail off for so many years. I'm glad to see that some ties can be repaired as opposed to those separate. Let me put you this way. The way this Hall of Fame class is looking, they could add Mike Adamley to the freaking celebrity wing, and it would still be the greatest Hall of Fame class of all time.
Oh,
it's
it
amazing.
Definitely would be, but Mike Adamley, come on, man. You could have picked somebody better, man. The Muppets, come on.
Hey, Bob
Barker?
The originals were great, then you know it.
Well, listen, real quick. My story is almost the same as Brett's. You know, grew up loving Bruno Sammartino because of my grandfather who passed away as well recently. You know, almost around the same time yours did, Brett. So, you know what? We have a couple of, you know, different connections within wrestling that way. At the same time, I met Bruno back in 1997 at an autograph signing. Mm-hmm. One of the nicest guys I met. Talking a lot of classic wrestling with him, it was something that I'll always remember and hold near and dear in my heart. So it's nice to see that not only is Bruno going in, but he's going at the same time along with Bob Backlund. Very, very huge.
Great stuff.
Very, very huge. 2 minutes left in the show. Let's throw this out here right quick. WrestleMania match. What are you guys looking forward to WrestleMania? What's going to be the biggest match? Do you think it's going to be the Cena Rock, or with the Undertaker not possibly being there, are we going to see some sort of surprise now?
I don't think we're going to see any surprises. I think that the people that we see now are what we're going to get. We're not going to have any last-minute Maria Menounos matches announced. the match I want to see is CM Punk Undertaker. Hopefully Undertaker makes it. That's the match I want to see. That's where I'm at. Maybe Brock Lesnar Triple H would be next.
Sounds good. What about you, Jim, real quick? What do you think?
I hope Undertaker's healthy because I'd want to see Punk Taker because that could be another classic. Enough said.
That would definitely be good. But if it doesn't happen, you know what? Maybe push up Punk Ziggler. Now it's about time. You know, give Punk, you know what, give Ziggler that big top-notch card. One day, Punk will get it back, or maybe Ziggler will get it back. You make Punk a face again, see what happens. I think that would be a phenomenal feud right there. Nice. All right, man. Well, thanks, Jim. Thanks so much for joining us. Got to call back in on next Tuesday, man.
Will do. Will do. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, well, that's it for the second episode of Wrestle Chat Radio. We're sorry for the technical difficulties in the beginning there. Once again, we're sorry we're only a half an hour, but next week we're definitely going to have to do an hour, Brett.
Yes, sir. Before you know it, we'll be just like Raw. We'll be moving the 3 hours.
Absolutely. But as always, head over to WrestleChat.net. Check it out. News, rumors, information, professional wrestling, WWE, Impact, Ring of Honor, you name it, it's there. Check it out real quick because that's what we're all about here. So for Brooklyn Daniel, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Thanks for listening to Wrestle Chat Radio. We'll see you all next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time.